skills we have on the cloud, we have a strained workforce. Even today, when we go on the cloud, you'll meet only two nurses. You can now do them.
Like we can do them, so we can do the maths. Yeah.
Going loud, you notice this baby is having yellow coloration of the skin. And this baby, if we don't act, we know the issues of Judy's, how it can escalate.
Hello, welcome to the One Health Lens podcast, where we have conversations around health and related topics, making them simple and easy for you to understand. I'm your host, Dr. Diana Wangari-Gitau. Today, we're having an important guest and an important conversation. We're putting a face to neonatal nursing care in Kenya, and I'll let the guest introduce herself and we'll get going.
My name is Tabitha Mwita. I work in public hospital in Kiabo. And today we would like to have a clear picture of what happens in our newborn space because we have these babies whom they cannot voice for themselves. We are the people to voice for them and make the whole world or the larger community to understand what happened in those newborn units.
You know, we start off always with describing what the newborn unit is, right? Because you as a neonatal nurse, most people will not understand what is neonatal, why is it important, why is it a critical point? So what's a newborn unit? Who's a neonate in the first place?
I would like first of all to define who is a neonate. A neonate is a baby who is born from birth to 28 days. That is a neonate. Above 28 days, you can call that a neonate, a baby, an infant. Newborn unit is an apartment in the hospital whereby those babies who are not stable and who are vulnerable are taken to be stabilized. What do I mean by stable? To be resuscitated until they are in stable state, then to be reunited with the mother. Anybody who is in the newborn, most of them, the larger part, they are unstable. So they are either critically ill, they are not stable, they are not breastfeeding, they have some infection, they have so many conditions which need to be stabilized before that baby be united with the mother.
So if you were to give birth today and your baby was born early, right, premature, that baby will probably go to the newborn unit. If the baby has any issue, will go to the newborn unit. So that means the babies you handle are either critically ill, they require a lot of support, and it also means for the mother, they are not accessing the baby every time. Is that correct?
They have their timings when they come to visit the baby to allow the healthcare workers like us, nurses, doctors, to do the other procedures. They don't do looming in throughout, so they come there 3 hourly, 2 hourly, depending on the condition of the baby. When you have the critically ill baby, you allow that mother to be with the baby almost 100%, 24 hours. Because you want to take her psychological part of her emotions to see her baby coming up. But most of the time, if the baby is stabilized, they come 3 hours. On top of that, when I talk about unstable baby, critically ill babies, there are so many conditions, there are so many sicknesses. And let me put it in a very simpler language. We have those who are born before their date, that is prematurity. Those who are born before that 7 weeks and they carry the day, they are the majority in the world. First of all, we understand that baby who is born before that 7 weeks, everything is undeveloped, not even immature. It is undeveloped. There's a difference between immature and undeveloped. Immature, they are not well formed. They are not completely formed. So that baby, despite being like a baby who is having low immunity, they still have some other things which will be interlocked, make her case or his case complicated. Why? We start with the first one. The respiratory system, it is not well developed. So we need to support the breathing. How? We have the machines in the world to support this baby until we stabilize the baby, until. And we have that algorithm of the stabilizing the baby, whereby we use the resuscitation. The very first thing, you make the room warm, between 25 degrees to 28 degrees. And then you make sure that the body temperature of that baby is between 35 degrees to 37 degrees. That is the first thing in the resuscitation. Because we talk about the stabilization or resuscitation. The second thing, you come to airway. How is it going to flow until you reach The last point, which is called alveoli, which is like balloon, which deflate, inflate, deflate, inflate. First of all, you have cleared the airway. We have so many machines. Like in our place, we have automated machine whereby you have to suck. After sucking, you position the baby. The way that airway is not compromised and it is patent, the air is passing. Then the second thing, you go to check on oxygenation. Is the baby getting oxygen? So you have to put those gadgets on the kababy. We call them the pulse oximeter for monitoring. The process of resuscitation, you have to put it at the back of your mind. It is only 1 minute. The baby must breathe. Only within that first gold minute. If you don't act very fast, you are going to lose the baby or you are going to compromise the health of the kababy. After that, you go to see what we call circulation. Circulation, you check on the glucose, you check on the rehydration, you check on the pulse, the heart rate, how the baby is in the heartbeat, all, so that you make sure now the baby is stable. After that, now you check the whole body, you go to drugs, if you are going to introduce any feed, anything else. When you reach D, at least you can say, I have stabilized this baby almost 80%. Looking at the way we have all in our setups, in our place, we have partner like Nest 360, whereby they have given us almost 80% of the equipment and the supplies we need in NBU. But sometimes, whatever I'm talking, it is just theory. It remains theory. So I have all that knowledge with me. But when we go on the cloud, when we don't have numbers, because we should have, resuscitation does not be, it cannot be done by one person. It is even done by three. Because the first thing, after now you have seen the baby is critically ill, the baby is not breathing, maybe it is asphyxia, the baby is having the respiratory distress, you need to call for help. And when you call for help, you are calling for more than two, not one. Your partner, your second hand, will come now to start checking on the, when you are in A, they're checking on B and C. When you are done with A, you go to B. They are supporting somewhere, Leo, because you need to tell her, do this, or him to tell, do this, help me this. So there is no resuscitation of one nurse. But the case we have on the ground, we have the strained workforce.
In fact, I was coming to that because I'm glad you've given the context of just what it takes.
And that is only one, that only one baby.
Yeah.
Like in our place.
How many babies do you have?
Our hospital is a referral hospital, level 5. So we are receiving babies from the periphery hospitals, that is the mission hospitals, the private hospitals, within, from the labor ward, from the postnatal, from the IMCI, and even gynae. Sometimes we get those mothers who get abortions and miscarriages. You can even get like a baby with 400 grams, 600 grams, and sometimes they survive. So when I'm talking about resuscitation, it means you have to have another hand for you to have a successive resuscitation.
In the newborn unit that you operate in, what's the capacity? So how many babies can you take? Is it always full? How many nurses would you have in one shift typically? And I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but, or maybe if you feel I'm putting you on the spot, do you feel like it's enough? Maybe that's an easier question.
We have the number of nurses who are required in NBU. We have ratios, which is already documented by WHO, the UNICEF, the Nursing Council, and all the bodies which usually do the research. One nurse is supposed to take care of 4 babies. But for a critically ill baby, it is one nurse, one baby. But in our scenario, I have a capacity of 78 babies. So those are 78 cots. Even today, when we go on the cloud, you'll meet only 2 nurses. You can now do the
math. We can do the math. So we can do the math. Yeah.
And sometimes we even overstretch up to 90 something. Because a baby cannot come in NBU and you turn the mother and you can see the condition. We are also human. You have to take care of that baby. You stabilize the baby and you try to squeeze the others. And you know the risk of infection prevention when you share the beds. But you usually do that. Because this is a public hospital, people are coming, desperate mothers, desperate fathers. You cannot turn them back. You have to take care of those babies. But numbers, they are wanting.
They're wanting. We've talked about, we're humans. you as a neonatal nurse, what's your day like, right? This is your job, but you're also human, right? You have a family, you have to go home, right? Maybe on that's the day that not only did you have 78, you had more. And maybe that's the day maybe a colleague wasn't feeling well, is not at their best. So maybe the most you're moving is from this bed to this bed. By the time you come back, it takes time. What's your day like, Kusha?
Should I tell you the truth? Time you have your own to-do list as a human. When you're coming to job in the morning, you also have what you want to do. Your things, you put them aside when you enter into that room. Because in the morning, the very first thing you have to receive the report from the night staff. And that report, it is too intensive such that you go baby to baby, noting somewhere those who are critically ill, those who need urgent attention, because the baby must, it is not necessary that the baby is critically ill, but need urgent attention. For example, you can meet a baby who was on CPAP. CPAP is a machine we use on unit. It is called continuous positive airway pressure, or helping along with the oxygenation and air pressures. So when you are going loud, you notice this baby is having yellow coloration of the skin. And this baby, if we don't act, we know the issues of Judy's, how it can escalate until we really shatter blood exchange. And then if we don't do that, we go to canicteras. So when you are going for loud, you are still doing your episodic assessment. You have to assess this baby and you act. Sometimes you can also go loud, you see, a dehydrated baby. So you don't have to continue with the report. You have to act. So there is a lot. In the morning when you receive the report, you sit down with your now staff. You only have one nurse. The next head is only one nurse. The others are the student. The student, not even the support. We are coming to that. You have the student. We have different cadres of student. We have nursing student, clinical officer student, MOI is the medical officer intern. They are also student. So when you take a report, you come now, you start strategizing. Whom do I start with first? Because now you have to prioritize the care. You know, in nursing, in NBU, say they have three big elements. You have to make sure that the baby has survived and thrived. That is, you ensure the baby has survived and thus baby is going to thrive. The second thing, you have to ensure there is promotion of growth. This baby, the development and the growth is going as the per that baby's milestone. The third thing, you have to prevent the complications. Those neonates who are being brought in our unit, they're already complicated. But you have to make sure that you have not gone in the other level. Like, for example, we have those babies who are being brought in our unit with asphyxia. It can escalate to some complicated neurological condition, which will impact the baby, mother, and even to the community. So you make sure that you have worked very fast, have stabilized this baby very fast, not to go to that way. You save the situation. Now you save the nurse, you save the hospital, you save the mother, and even the community. So we know there are those cases.
From what I'm hearing, it's you've come in the morning, you're taking the report from the night nurse. There's a handover. The handover, you're meant to go through a process of checking. Is the baby okay? But then a complication might come in. An imagine issue might come in and you have to deal with that. So of your list of 78 babies, right? Neonates at this rate. This is someone who's been born barely 28 days in the world, right? You're checking 78. Maybe you're two nurses. You're meant to work from what time to what time and then go do your things. Most of your days, do you actually get to leave the hospital at the time that you intended to leave the hospital?
No. We report at 7:30 and then we leave at 6:30. But at times, it is the time you report 7:30 and most of the time you leave at that facility at 9.
Do you get to have at least a break at any one point or you just have a break on the way? What happens?
No, you don't have a... Unless you go to your home, you refresh yourself, then you bathe and sleep. There's no break in between. In NBU, there is nothing like lunch. In NBU, there is nothing like tea break. We don't know those things. Those things, we forget about it. When you have two nurses with 78,
what happens beyond the unit? There's the mother who's come in 3 hours, 2 hours, worried. If my child was in a newborn unit, I've just given birth. I'm worried, yeah? I'm probably wondering, will my child survive? How can I help? I'm worried, did I do something wrong? There's so many things that could be going. At what time do you get to talk to the mother and say,
let me talk about the ideal, what we are supposed to do and what we usually do? Because those are two different things. This mother, when she comes in our facility, or this father, when he comes in our facility, the very first thing, the mother needs to know the process, the disease process, or the event, or what is she expecting. She needs to understand what is happening to my baby. So as a nurse, I'm supposed to take the mother, take the baby, and then explain the procedure. I establish a good rapport with the mom, obtain the consent. I explain the procedure to the mother for me to get the informed consent, and then the mother to understand what I'm doing to this baby, because most of the time, it is the time when you see the emergency, you just grasp the baby, put the baby on oxygen, put the baby on CPAP, put the baby on lady and woman, start bugging, and the mother does not understand that. So they panic because they don't understand what is happening with my baby. The ideal thing, we are supposed to talk to these mothers. Yes, they have dignity. Even the baby have the dignity. The very first thing to come in this world, to come to that baby, is blame, the mind. We need to have that firm, soft touch. Talk to the baby as well as the mother. When the mother sees that you are concerned about her, her anxiety will go down. She just relax. She'll understand the nurse has taken the baby, go stabilize the baby, then she'll come with the report, and I'm seeing what she's doing. But at times, you just grasp the baby. Go start your things. The mother does not understand. They get a lot of trauma in this unit. They have a lot of stress, emotional stress, which we don't know how to handle, because when you're alone, you don't have that time to explain. But for in the ideal setting, given the numbers, that should happen. Given the numbers, I think we should be doing that.
So what do you hear from mothers at the end of the experience, right? From mothers in particular, what do you hear? Because I'd imagine that those who come out with good experiences, that those who come with maybe not good experiences, that those who lose their children, right? Their units, right? What do you hear from mothers is the one thing that they'd want? What or two things that they'd want?
Okay, for those who have the better outcome, because most of them, they have the good outcome, they realized that after all what was done, it was not an attack. The nurse was out to help me and to help the baby. So they appreciate afterward. But there are those, if you initially didn't explain whatever you are doing and they lose this baby, don't appreciate.
They think
you're part of whatever is happening. And it is true, because these are human.
When you sit down with fellow colleagues, nurses, right, and neonatal nurses in particular, what is one thing also, when you sit down and you're talking, what would be something you'd want to the public to know, first of all, right? And then what would you need to make your life better? I know it's numbers, but what, when you talk?
The very first thing which I would wish our public or the viewers to know, that we are also human beings. Sometimes we also get emotional when we lose these babies, because we are mothers. So we understand the process. Like also maybe to talk to policymakers, given a chance. Those people who sit on the budget, when they are strategizing, I would like to appeal to them. When your health is compromised, and if we start from that very small baby, when our health is compromised, the generation will go, our economy will be affected, and when we prioritize health, everything will land smoothly, because even education comes after the health. When you are not healthy, you don't even think about any project, any investment, anything. You can remember the time we had Corona. It collapsed in everything in our Kenya, because our health was ailing. So we start from grassroots, that the canyon it. That baby cannot talk for himself. We are the voice of those babies. We have to talk forums. We have to go to offices. We have to appeal to everyone, even the partners who are there outside. to come and help, because these babies, it is quite for a long time they have been forgotten. And this time, God is coming in a huge way. So we are seeing the fruits of whatever is happening.
First, I want to thank you. It's not easy work. It cannot be easy. 78 babies, right? Critically ill. If you don't have the hands, you barely have time to even put your feet up. Forget lunch, forget just to put your feet up. So thank you for that, yeah. I agree with you that sometimes we don't look at healthcare professionals in general as human. They have a role they have to play. It's their right to provide quality care, but they're also human. So thank you for reminding us of that. On behalf of many who don't say thank you, Asante.
Yes, Khalid. Welcome.
Yeah. And we're hoping as part of this is the conversation we'll continue having to say there's need for us not to just focus on, because you can have the equipment. You can have the latest model of any machine, any technology, but the people who operate them are human beings. So thank you for that. Asante, asante sana. And I'm hoping you'll continue sending out to other neonatal nurses. Yeah. You'll get mothers to come as well to have conversations with us. Do you have any last word you want to say? Call to action.
Action. Me, I would request our government to check on the numbers. We really need these numbers, because in the neonate unit where I work, that is my specialty, newborn unit, they look on the numbers. The overcrowding areas, like where I work, I would like to have a separate column for isolating the babies who come from home with infection, not to intermingle with the ones who are in the ward who do not have infection, but that one I don't have. So I have to do the mixing. They look at the setup, the design, despite having all those equipment, despite having all those automated machines, we need human personnel. We have the supply, but the human resource, we urgently need that to be acted upon. Because without human resource, we can have knowledge with us, those few who are there. We can have all the machines, but the results, I don't know what we can say. Because they should put us accountable. After putting more nurses, they ask us, how is the mortality rate? How many babies are thriving? What are you doing to escalate on this, to reduce this mortality? So they need to put us in that test after giving us the numbers. After giving us the numbers, because we have a lot of knowledge, we have a lot of what hands-on, but with one hand,
there's only so much you can do as one human being with 78 seeds these days. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Asante.
Welcome.
Thank you. And